Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NDL podcast. I am your boy, RB, with my main man, Jason. And Jason, it is the third podcast we're doing. The reviews have been great. Everyone's been giving us some awesome feedback. Appreciate the DMs. Keep them coming. But we're here. We are officially playing NDL regular season week one and two football. How does it feel?
I feel old. I do not have the stick skills that I used to have. FIFA, yes. College football or football in general, absolutely not. And I'm already kind of giving myself the pep talk of, hey, look, you know, this is gonna be a long season. You may lose more than you win. You're just gonna have to tough it out. But yeah, fun first day. Got two games in. It felt so good to be playing this game with people I know and people I have fun playing against, and feel like, you know, that we never left. I think that's the best part of this. We've been gone 10 years, but somehow it doesn't feel like we've been gone that long.
Yeah, it is crazy, right? It doesn't feel like it's been 10 years, and maybe 10 plus, I guess you could say at this point. But yeah, we got started last night. We had the kickoff classic. I don't think either one of us got to watch it, but the joy of having a 8-month-old is that sometimes she wakes up in the middle of the night and I have to rock her to sleep in a rocking chair. So what do? I pull out my phone and I pull up the Rain on You Twitch past videos and watch the game at like 3 or 4 a.m. this morning. So got to catch up and watch it. Shout out to Rain for having that stream up, posting that link, and was able to kind of watch back. I don't know if we talked about this before. Did you get a chance to watch any of the game back at all?
I did not. I saw a couple highlight clips that people clipped. But full disclosure, yesterday was my mom's birthday. So we did, you know, birthday festivities and everything. And then today, between spending much of the day writing and doing commissioner duties and then getting two games in.
Yeah.
It's been a very busy day.
It's like a part-time job, being in the NDL, being a conference commissioner, and doing this podcast, but I enjoy it. I got a round of golf in myself today. Was fortunate to do that and going to get to play my first game this evening. But just to talk a little bit on the kickoff classic. I mean, just obviously a good example of two coaches who have been in the NDL a long time. And if anything that I can take away, I know it was 27-0. It was a shutout on Rain's end. He ended up winning that game. But it was two old school NDL coaches who were playing sim style ball. And for any of the new guys, you know, it wasn't the prettiest game in the world, but I think both coaches, you know, if you want to kind of model that kind of gameplay after those guys, I think that was a great showing by both of them. It was a weird game. I think it was 3-0 at halftime, and someone posted in the chat about...
Wasn't it a field goal like right before halftime?
Yeah, it was. Someone posted the over-under probably about halfway through the second quarter at 0.5 over-under. And I think Rain saw that poll expire after and was like, what the hell was that? Because I think the chat was giving him a hard time for being a 0-0 game for so long. But it was an interesting game. I feel like U.S. Marine played like solid. Obviously, the turnover bug hit them, but they were moving the ball up and down the field. It just seemed like the turnovers were hitting hard in the first half. And, you know, I think it was 13-0, and then maybe a pick six or two kind of made the score look like it was bigger than it was. But all in all, I think my takeaways were just, hey, it was two old school coaches who've been with us for a long time who showcased what an ideal sim style, you know, realistic NDL game looks like.
Yeah, and the shocking part to me is that, you know, Alabama's 0-2. You know, I don't know if you saw it or not, but we got a result earlier today that Alabama lost it up. You know, the coaches always talk about don't let a team beat you twice. And maybe, you know, Alabama's got, or they were just, you know, rattled on their gridiron, virtual gridiron, I guess, and lost 31-10 to UMass, and brand new coach. I don't know if it's Rock or Roke, but, you know, that was a coach that barely beat Eastern Michigan. So you're just scratching your head going, what in the world is going on? But yeah, the turnover thing is important because, you know, a lot of times in the past with this game, you could get away with turnovers and stuff with the whole composure system that they've got now being so much stronger than it was back in the day. And with the way home field advantage and everything like that is, you really have to take care of the football. I lost one of my first NDL Cup game today, played Riccio and got, you know, housed. But I threw three interceptions. I threw two pick sixes, or it might have been three pick sixes. It was bad. I think I completed more passes to his team than to mine. But you can't force the ball. You have to be careful with it. And just like in real life, if you have to take the sack and punt and move on, you take the sack and punt and move on. Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting to see how many coaches can adapt and figure out, you know, how to take care of the ball, how to deal with the passing game. I think there are a lot of guys that are still trying to get used to this game. And I think there are a lot of people kind of in my boat of, you know, we don't have the same skills we had back in the day. People got, you know, I was listening to somebody on a podcast the other day talk about it. I think it was Scott Van Pelt, actually, that, you know, yeah, back in the day, we were in college, you know, we were, you know, college age, we were in our late 20s. We had all the time in the world to do this. Like you were talking about earlier, you got a baby. You know, your schedule isn't dictated by NDL anymore. It's dictated by baby. And you don't get that time to practice. You don't get that time to learn the different route combos that work or this new formation that might give you a little bit of an edge or how to, you know, practicing and how to read the cover six. We don't get any of that anymore. A lot of times it's just pick up the sticks and go. And it's going to be interesting to see how many of the vets still have those stick skills and can still be the dominant players that they used to be.
Yeah, there's been games where I feel it, where it's like, wow, I this used to work. I used to be able to read that. I am getting a little bit better. I'm starting to realize, like, hey, just take a sack. I think the interception numbers were so high so early because a lot of us were just, yeah, let's see what works. Let's see what doesn't. And I am learning to pull the ball down and throw it away or just take my 2 yards up the middle with my quarterback and slide. I try to be as liberal with that as possible, so not taking advantage of that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's a learning curve. It's been very interesting. And I think Roke. I call him Roke. He's kind of put his name out there. I know he was very confident in the chat during the draft. So yeah, big couple wins from him. Great start for UMass. So yeah, we're off and running. But one thing that we didn't get to last episode, I want to make sure get some love, is the group of five conferences. We did the Power Four predictions. We scrolled through. So I want to dive into that here next. Before we talk a little more about week one and two and some gameplay and rule things as well. So let's start with the American Athletic. Interesting conference. Looks a lot different than it did, say, 2 years ago in real life. I'm looking at some teams here that I didn't even know were in that conference. It's really weird to see Army in a conference, but it's cool. Nub, longtime NDL coach as well, I believe. Hopefully I'm right on that. There's been some names that I've said and I've seen that I'm like, oh yeah, they've been in the NDL a long time. And then I look and I'm like, oh no, they're a rookie coach. So hopefully I don't have that one wrong.
I wonder how much of that stuff is accurate. I've been meaning to talk to him because I swear I'm seeing like names. I think Bucknut was one of them. I'm like, I know that guy was in the league. And I'm wondering if maybe they were guys that were in the league and or maybe they were in the farm and never got to the league.
Or maybe, yeah, new name because they couldn't log into their old account or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking at this conference. I mean, I think the strongest team in this conference is probably Memphis in terms of ratings.
Yeah, no question. They're an 85 and nobody else is over an 80.
Yeah.
I think take that back. I'm sorry. Tulane is an 84. Yeah, I missed Tulane.
Yeah, I think Tulane is pretty decent. They're a good team. I've heard a lot of things about. And then I really like UTSA. That was a team that I thought I would be drafting if, you know, I couldn't find a quality power four team. But I'm just going to go out here and say, you know, I think the winner of this conference is probably going to be Memphis. I look to UTSA. I think that could be a good one, untouchable. And then Doc with Tulane, you know, I think it's no secret that those are the three best teams. And, you know, I lean toward veteran coaches winning conferences because, again, I just don't want to go out and make predictions on some of these new coaches. But, yeah, I'm going to go with, I think, Tulane winning that conference. What do you think?
North Texas is a team that you shouldn't sleep on. FSU Penguins always been a really good coach. Mm-hmm. May not have the greatest team, but he's going to pull off some upsets there.
Yeah, and then I'm curious to see. There's like a lot of teams here, just middle of the pack. Eastern Carolina, FAU. You got Randog with Rice, veteran in the league. Wouldn't be surprised to have them in the mix as well. But interesting conference. Looks way different than it did a few years ago. Should be fun to follow along. I'll scroll down here. Our next conference, Conference USA. I don't know if you're looking through it here, Jason, but what do you think of Conference USA and what are you seeing there?
So Wasted, really good coach. He's got Western Kentucky. They've got a good offense and they've got some good players on defense, but their secondary is so bad. It was one of the teams I was looking at, but they also have a very iffy offensive lineman. So, and you're going to run into that with a lot of these teams, all these teams that are in, for the most part, that are in the group of five, they're all going to have great players at certain positions, and then they're going to have weaknesses. And it's going to be who can best leverage their strengths and hide their weaknesses. Liberty, obviously, is the best offense in the conference. Defense can be hit or miss, but they've also got a new coach, so we don't know how good the coach is. Jeff Moe, I've got Jeff Moe on my schedule for a cup. I'm going to find out how good he is, but I don't care if you give Jeff Moe a good team or a bad team, he's still going to cook. There's a lot of good names in here. I mean, Pat, obviously, I've played Pat numerous times in scrims. He can be had on defense, but he also is going to put points up. This one is probably one of the most wide open of all the conferences, and it's going to be fun to watch. I think it's going to come down to who gets the tougher teams at home versus who has to play their tougher games on the road.
Yeah, I agree. And watch out for Sneal. I played him in a scrim and it was a very competitive, very close game. I feel like probably the only reason I won that game was because I think I wasn't at home, but I think the reason I won was just the ratings. Like, my team rating is much better than FIU. So I think we ended up being like a 27-21 game. He was a fun new coach to play against. But I got to go with Wasted here. I think I've played him in three scrims. I think he's beaten me twice. I've beaten him once. I don't know what you're talking about with his secondary, because every time I play against him, his secondary is hopped up on steroids or something. Like, they know the break of my routes before my receivers even know the route that they're going to run. I don't know if it's just a momentum or an AI thing. And it's like, they kind of pick and choose their moments, but there's just been times where they're jumping every route and I'm like, my goodness, I can't do anything here.
Maybe it was the linebackers. I've had four concussions in my lifetime. My short-term memory is absolute dog shit. It could be the linebackers that were bad. I just know there was something in their, I thought it was their corners, maybe like past one or two, they were just awful. But there was something that prevented me from like looking at him and going, no, I'm good. I think this is going to be a really fun one. If I had to pick a winner, I'd, it's tough. I mean, Liberty's the best team, but Wasted's such a good coach. I'd probably go with him.
Yeah, and WKU's not too far off ratings-wise from Liberty. I know Pat will have a competitive season and be in the mix, but yeah, I'm going with Wasted, and he's going to hear this and say, oh, you guys are wrong. He's going to give us crap for that, because he's humble. He's a humble coach for sure.
Well, people don't want the target on their back. I can't remember who it was I said last week was really good, and then they go out and whoop somebody in a scrim. I'm like, no, I know who you are. I've played you before. You can't you can't fool me. Also, now I'm having to pull up the Western Kentucky roster, because it's going to drive me insane for the rest of the night if I don't figure out what it was that made me not take them, now that you've said that.
Yeah. I remember they played a bowl game last year and they were down like 28-0, came back and won. And then, of course, I think they returned everybody. Have a really great squad.
My boss at work is because I live in Louisville. My boss at work is a Western alum. And that game was during work hours, and he came down to my office and was just, he's in like his 50s. He's just absolutely glowing and, talking trash. I'm like, I don't have a dog in this fight. Congratulations. Yeah.
I think Wasted's a WKU alum. If I remember, I played him, and I think he said that on the stream, or not the stream, the game we were playing. So Yeah, kudos to him repping the alma mater.
Yeah, well, the other secondary is solid. What was I? Okay, yeah, that's what it was. They have two really good corners, but after that, it's 70, 69, 64. So it's a serious drop off. Yeah, exactly. And their offensive line, they've got one good offensive lineman, and then after that, it's mid to low. They had a 71 center, I think, was why I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. We'll move on to the independents. We'll give them some love. I mean, from my perspective, Rain is still Rain. Solid player. You know, we'll talk about the college football playoff predictions later. We'll call them the way too early predictions, guys, because yeah, we don't know anything how this season's going to unfold, but I think I have Rain in my way too early college football playoff predictions. You know, Roke is off to a great start. 2-0, two big road wins against, you know, tough opponents. I know Eastern Michigan doesn't sound like a tough opponent, but T. Wade has also been, or always been, a quality coach, quality player, if you will. And then UConn, don't know anything about. I do play him in my week one game, so we'll kind of see how that unfolds. But anything to add for the independents?
No, I mean, obviously Notre Dame is Notre Dame. Right. Rain's a phenomenal coach, and you know, they're going to be there. I'm pretty sure they're going to, especially with their pick and choose, whatever we want to play conference or schedule, they're going to be there when it comes playoff time.
Yep. Agreed. We'll move.
But I'm also going to bet the first half under on all their games this season.
not a bad idea. I'm going to move on to the MAC, everyone's favorite conference, the MACtion. You know, I don't think this conference has changed in like forever. It's been the same teams for a long time, in terms of like actual schools. But I'm just looking down the list. I see a lot of familiar names. I think the best team in this conference, ratings wise, is probably Toledo. But like I said, my old friend T. Wade, I know his skills. I know how good he is. I know he doesn't have a very good team. I think he will be up there in terms of the conference, you know, top maybe two, get himself into that conference championship game. I'm not going to pick him to win it, but that's just kind of my early reaction. Is you got some older coaches who've been around a while. You got Trendon, who's in there, Ank, Sudden Blues. What do you think about the MAC, Jason?
So Toledo, I know, was a team that kind of had some shaky corners because it was one of the teams that I was almost about to draft. Their offense is fun, though, and that's going to be one of those. I think that's, you're going to see a lot of those games where guys are just going to have to be like, look, I'm going to win in a shootout. They had a 96 speed running back. I mean, have fun. This is a league that there aren't as many new coaches, so it's a bit easier. Sutton's got a good team, arguably one of the best in the conference. He's a good coach. There's no runaway, like, you know, all-time great coach in this one. T. Wade obviously is a good coach, and if we're looking at the results, you know, almost beat UMass, who beat Alabama. So, mm-hmm. You know, by theory, he's going to do well with them this season. This one's really tough. Ank's a good player, but his team might let him down, especially that offense. I think it's a 69 rated. Nice. Same with Trendon. It's a 64 rated offense. This one's tricky. If Noli had a better team, I would be picking him, but he got stuck with Ball State. And there's only so much you can do, as I've seen in some games already. There's only so much you can do if you don't have the talent.
Right. Yeah, I played Vegas a few times in some scrims. He's got a good quarterback, great tight end, you know, nice offense. His defense is not very good, and he'll tell you that. But I think from a prediction, I'm just going to go kind of out of the blue here, no pun intended. But I'm going to go with Sudden Blues. I think he's going to win this conference. I think Trendon will be right up there in the top two or three as well, fighting for that conference championship game. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Miami, Ohio. They think that defense is going to wreak havoc here in the MAC. Did you pick
that.
Anybody?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the problem is I don't know how good Mr. Joker is. Western Michigan's a good team. I'll probably go with Sutton as well, just because I know how he can play.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we'll move on to the Mountain West, your conference, off to a good start. The conference that I'm also the commissioner of. So 2-0 start from the Mountain West. Boise State with a win, and then obviously you, Jason, with a win to start. I love this conference. I think it's a lot of fun. You got, you know, a good mix of returners and new. Yeah, I really like, I wrote an article the other day. It was very quick article. I didn't go into too much detail, but I like Black Rain. I think he's going to have a good season. And then, you know, obviously Boise State is the best team in this conference. You know, what do you see out of your conference, Jason?
Yeah. So, and this is something, by the way, it's been mentioned in the Discord, so we should probably sidebar it here. Win goals in the past were based on a letter grade. So you could have a team that was rated like a 79 going up against a 77, and it would be viewed as an even matchup, and each team would get a half win. And I didn't think about it when we were drafting. And I looked at Boise State, and Boise State had all their games of, you know, were wins. And I'm like, well, I don't want to do that. And then I took Fresno, and then I scheduled, and I have 11 games of my 12 to win. And that was when I realized, oh, yeah, we're doing overall ratings now. So when an 80 team like mine plays a 79-rated team like Black Rain and UNLV, I'm considered a full win, even though it's an even matchup, essentially. Right. So I'm screwed is basically what I'm saying, because I've got one of the slowest damn defenses in college football, I think, which is a big part of the reason why Dave was just tearing me a new one earlier. This one is going to be, I think, a lot of 55-50 type games. There are a lot of really good offenses in this conference. Defense is not so much. You know, Air Force, iffy defense. Nevada, iffy defense, but solid offense. My team, really good offense, iffy defense. So I think this one's going to come down to what we talked about earlier. Who can limit turnovers and who can come up with timely stops? Because there are going to be points galore scored. And this might be, in my opinion, the highest scoring conference that we have.
Yeah, I'm looking at a lot of these teams. I played in this conference for a couple seasons back in the day, Utah State, Wyoming, you know, so I'm familiar with a lot of these schools, I should say, not really teams, but I had Hawaii as well, but I don't know if they were in the Mountain West back when I had them.
They were in the WAC.
Yeah, that's right, with like New Mexico State and yeah, some other schools. Just quick prediction on this one. I'm going to stick to my guns. I had Boise State and UNLV 1 and 2. Sorry, Jason, I have you 3. Wouldn't be surprised if you find yourself in the top 2 in the conference championship game in this conference.
Wouldn't be surprised if I find myself in the bottom half.
Yeah, I mean, that I played with Fresno a few times in scrimmages. That was a team that I was almost going to steal from you, but I just couldn't do it with that defense. You know, I'd played some scrims, and of course the offense was scoring, but man, it was hard to keep up with that defense. You know, you want to pull your hair out when you're seeing guys just kind of get ran by. But yeah, that's going to be my prediction. I'm going to go with Boise State with Rockefeller. I guess, you know, I don't know if you want to predict this conference, but you can if you'd like.
I mean, Boise's the clear favorite. I think Black Rain will be right there with him. I'm pretty much with you on that one. It'll be Boise State and UNLV.
Did we talk about the Pac-12 last time?
No, we did not. We did not. Because it's no longer a power conference.
Well, sorry about that. We'll talk a little bit about the Pac-12 here. Obviously, we got Kugnix was, you know, with Washington State for a long time before the reboot. Glad he got his team back. I don't know much about him. I think I maybe only played him once back in the day. And then Brady Sr., I hand up. I don't know if that's a new coach or not. Any comments quickly on the Pac-12?
Yeah, I mean they're screwing up our conference. You know why you got to come and play games in our conference and mess up our conference? No, I'm joking. No, Coog's a good dude. I've had many a battle with him back in the day. I had Washington for 6 seasons, and I think we had a couple battles in there, but we'd often play non-conference together, so we've gone back and forth quite a few times on the digital gridiron.
All right, and then the conference, I think that still does divisions. I think it's one of the only ones. We'll scroll down to the Sun Belt. Again, see a lot of names here that I remember. You know, not sure about a lot of these teams. I love App State. I think they were a very fun team to run scrims with. I think what I liked the most about App State, though, was their backdrop and their stadium. Like, it looks so badass on this game. And are you playing Holmby at App State, I think, is what I saw?
Yeah. Another, and then that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. It's an 80 versus 79. I gave him the road game because he was the lower rated, thinking it'd be a half win. And no, I'm expected to win now. So I'm like, well, shit.
Yeah.
No, that was a team I desperately wanted. And I was talking to him before the draft. He's like, yeah, you're not getting them. If they get to me, they're not getting by me. I was like, shit. But him and I, ironically enough, him and I actually played scrimmage with our teams before the season. So now I'm regretting that because I'm like, well, now he knows how to attack me and he knows what I'm going to do. No, I mean, Dave, Southern Miss, I played him earlier today. His user skills on defense are so good. Offensively, he's exceptional at reading your defense. I think he probably hot routed 15 or 20 times and just picked me apart. I'm like, well, nothing I can do. Kulix is a good coach. When you're only in the league a couple years before we, or a couple seasons before we left, and you have an ELO of 1700 after three seasons, beware. And then he gets the best team ratings wise in the conference. I'm very glad I don't have to play him. You've got a lot of returning vets that, you know, can be hit or miss depending on their team. This is going to be a fun one, but I don't see it getting past those three at the top.
Yeah. App State, awesome team, great offense. That's going to be, you know, I think that's probably who takes the East. I look at the West in this conference and I see it way more, I don't say way more competitive, but more competitive. Like Quest, I know, has been a great coach. And I think Arkansas State has one of the top 100 players in this game, if I remember correctly. They had a couple really good offensive players, good quarterback. Southern Miss, you know, Texas State, good team, a lot of fun. I'm going to go with Holmy making it on the East side. I'll go with Texas State making it on the West. That offense is fun. That quarterback running back combo is solid. So, and then I'll go with Texas State winning this conference.
You see, Arkansas State's an interesting one because their offensive line for a team that low is really, really good. They only have three wide receivers you can rely on because it gets into the 60s after those three, but they're all in the 80s. This is another team I was looking at, but they have a 87 rated left guard and an 89 rated center, which you don't typically see that kind of rating in one of these smaller schools. Their issue, though, is defense. I mean, their defensive line is iffy. Their secondary is all mid 70s and below. So, I mean, that's going to be another one. You're probably going to see a lot of two wide, three wide sets running the ball behind that tough offensive line. And look, if you can run the ball, especially in these lower conferences, and limit how much your opponent can get the ball, it can be a game changer.
What's the NIL fund?
Especially with these scores.
What does the NIL fund look like at Arkansas State? How do they have guys that are like high 80s? And I'm confused. How do these players end
oil
up at
money.
Arkansas State?
Yeah. Oil money. Yeah.
Something like that. Well, good stuff. That's our conference previews, predictions, call them what you will. We will move on to week one, week two. It's finally here. There's been some games in the books already. Exciting to see the NDL back. We'll talk about some games here real quick that have not been played and that have been deemed, you know, game of the week or even just like interesting games that I picked out as well, that Jason and I picked out. So we'll start with Iowa State. Obvious rival game. You have a longtime coach going against a rookie coach. What do you think of this game in week two, Jason?
Well, I mean, Iowa is 3 yards in a cloud of dust, so we'll see. It'll be interesting to see if Iowa actually opens up the playbook. No, it's a rivalry game, and one of the things that kind of stinks that we lost was we had a lot of coaches that would keep their teams. And we had rivalries built up to where it wasn't just the fact that it was a rivalry game, but they, you know, you play each other every single year. So it's going to be interesting to see how many of these coaches in these big rivalry games keep their team after year one and do that very same thing and rebuild that rivalry to where, you know, you're playing the same coach. I know when I was at UK to end my run before the game went in hiatus, I think I played, I can't remember who the UofL coach was, but we played each other four straight seasons. And, you know, it became more than just, well, hey, I'm playing my rival, I'm playing U of L. It's no, well, I'm playing a guy that, you know, he's beat me the last 2 years. Well, now I don't want to get one over on him. No, I mean, I was a good team, but they're so limited offensively in this game, and just like in real life, because they just simply don't have the passing game that most modern teams have. So I think this is going to be a clash of contrasting styles, and it's going to be who can impose their will more. Iowa being on the road is a big boost for Iowa State, because as we've seen with home field advantage, I would not want to play at Iowa.
Yeah, it's a hard game to predict, right, with a new coach. But I'm excited to watch it. I always love watching rivalry games here. I'm just going to go with Iowa, though. I think that defense is maybe the highest rated in the game. That's not
it's phenomenal.
Georgia. That's not like Georgia or Ohio State, right? I think it might be like top, you know, top five defense-wise. The offense, you know, yeah, in real life is terrible, and you'd rather watch paint dry than watch them try to play offense. But fortunately, it's a video game, so hopefully that won't be the same with users and coaches playing with teams like that. So I'm just going to go with Iowa. Let's say
they have 9 defensive players rated 80 or above, and they have 5 that are rated 4 that are rated 90 or above, including both safeties. Like, good luck passing.
I think in real life this game was what, like 10-7 last year or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe that was 2 years ago. I don't know. But I'm gonna go with Iowa 24, Iowa State 17. It's my prediction.
Iowa's top 3 quarterbacks on the depth chart are rated 77, 76, 71. Home field advantage might play a role here. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
We might see a backup quarterback at some point. Okay. I would wager money that we will see a backup. By the way, their top 3 wide receivers are rated 75, 73, 70. This might be a very low scoring game.
Yes, I agree. A game that I think a lot of people are looking forward to. It's on the homepage as a game of the week. I want to talk about Virginia Tech, West Virginia. Just instant reaction. What do you think of that game, Jason?
Shell's going to shell. I mean, look, if you've ever played him, Shell's one of the best offensive players in the league. And we allowed him to get a team that has an 88 speed quarterback, a 91 speed running back, and an 87 speed running back. So he can run his 2 wide shotgun formations. He's going to put up points. And this is going to be one of those games that I've got down as I'm hoping I can catch it when it's streamed, because this is going to be a really fun game to watch and react to.
Yeah, I think I played Shell maybe once back in the day. I think that was one of those games I lost by like 30. I look at Nick. I know he's been kind of chirping in the Discord about, you know, not being referred to as a veteran coach. So that's on me. Hand up, Nick. Sorry about that. But I look back and he has had some really, really good seasons. He's won some conference championships. You know, I'm just kind of scrolling through last minute here. He's been in the MAC a lot, but I think this will be a close game. Obviously Shell is, you know, one of the top players in this league and has, you know, won championships or NDL cups, which are basically the same thing as championships. But I think you're right. I think Shell's going to shell, not looking forward to playing him in the Big 12. That's the fun thing about the NDL is like when we get to playoff time or we get, you know, down the road, you could see a team like a West Virginia who you might not see in real life have a chance at making the college football playoff. But, you know, with some of these coaches and user skills, you would not be surprised to see a team like West Virginia in the playoff.
No, and the interesting matchup is going to be Virginia Tech has a wide receiver, I think that's 95 or 96 speed. And West Virginia doesn't have a single defensive back over 91 speed. So if he can get, you know, if Nick can get time, he might be able to hit a couple deep balls on West Virginia. Yep. This is going to be a shootout, and I'm going to enjoy watching it.
Yeah, I love the friendly banter back and forth between VT Run and Gun and Nick, because Nick stole his team. They kind of go back and forth. And I think Nick made a comment of like, I can't wait to play with Virginia Tech forever. I'm
forever,
never leaving.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I really liked that. And then his VT had his nice little gif that he sent back. Another game I'm really looking forward to. I'm surprised it didn't get more love. I mean, obviously, there's tons of great games weeks one and two, really all throughout the season. But Boise State and Colorado, it's at Boise State. I previewed this game on the Mountain West article. I actually am going to change my pick here. I'm going to go with Colorado. I got my coaches mixed up, and no disrespect to Rockefeller, but I forgot Outlaw was as good as he is from the past. And so I'm gonna say Colorado takes this one on the road. They're obviously one of the best offenses with two of the best players in the game, but I think this is going to be a fun game. Home field advantage, we'll see what it plays into, but I'm going to go with Colorado in this one.
Yeah, I played Outlaw. I scrimmed Outlaw for two drives earlier today because I had to. Dave was available for our game, so I was like, "Hey, I got to bounce. Let's do one drive each." You know, offensively, just so much speed, and it's not just the speed. It's if they get an open field, you're screwed because the way that spin moves and jukes are in this game, good luck. I mean, he's going to do everything he can to get Travis under the ball. There's not much you can do to stop it, and if he gets the ball in open field, you might as well go ahead and start preparing to receive the kickoff.
Yeah, I want to see if I can catch that game too when it's on. Hopefully we're not missing too many games going on right now while doing the podcast, because I definitely want to get my scouting reports on guys like Shell and Outlaw before I play them, you know, later in the season. My defense is not very good. I can't stand the defensive AI on this game and the routes they take to tackle. But two, I'm just not good at defense, and neither is my team. So I might be in for some trouble here this season. The last game I want to talk about, and I'm going to make you talk about it because it's yours. We have App State, Fresno State. We got two longtime friends who play each other a lot in scrims. I'm not sure if you guys played a lot back in the day. I think this is a great matchup. I think it's going to be one of those games that is 55-50, like you said, Jason. But I'm sorry, man. I did pick Holmey to win at home. I think it's going to be really close. I would not be surprised again at all if you took that game. But I think my prediction was 31-28. That does mean it probably comes down to a field goal. And predicting a game by a field goal in this game is bold because we've all seen the field goal troubles that we've had. But I guess, what is your take on your game? What are you looking forward to? How do you see it going?
I mean, if he calls four verts on me all game, he'll win. please don't do that, Blake. No, Blake's a great guy. I've known him for ages. We've chatted, you know, even after the league kind of went on hiatus, we've chatted from time to time. Kudos to him, by the way, for everything he's done with the website. There are so many issues that we've run into that he's immediately just dove in and worked on them during his free time. He has done such an amazing job with the site. There are bugs. There's always going to be bugs. Be patient with him. Give him time. He's working on all this stuff, but what he's done so far is phenomenal. But no, I mean, his offense is fun. I wanted that team so bad playing there. That stadium is sneaky loud. It can really mess with you. And that's going to be one of those things where I've got to make sure that my quarterback doesn't get rattled, because if he does, I'm screwed. But he's got 2 6'2" wide receivers with speed, and I'm going to have to find a way to shut him down without conceding the run game, because he's also got a good running game. It's going to be a fun game. Him and I have played, I think we scrimmed twice during this preseason. So, you know, we've got a little bit of each other's tendencies. Thankfully, I've got a brand new custom playbook without the cheesy formations, which they call a segue in the radio business. Mm-hmm. Without the cheesy formation, well, I take that back. I have them. I have them for dynasty mode when the dynasty does something stupid and screws me over, like going for it on 4th and 6 at their own 4 and scoring a 94-yard touchdown in the third quarter. Because screw that, I'm getting my touchdown back. But now I've got a custom playbook, so he's going to get some looks for me. I'm sure he's spent time building one for himself. It's going to be a fun game. I'm looking forward to it. I think we're playing Wednesday night.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, so great segue. I'll kind of turn it over to you. I know, you know, obviously have some things to say here too, but we do want to talk about gameplay and rulebook. Obviously, you know, a lot of live chat comments. I think we finally have the rulebook and the gameplay, like, all up to date. We have it on the Discord. there should be no more confusion of where it is or how to find it. But if you do need help, please reach out to your conference commissioners, you know, put it in the chat. There's plenty of people who will kind of point things out to you. But, you know, I know it's hard with a new game that we haven't played in 10 years. It's, you know, a new engine. There's just a lot of things that, you know, are going to go into the evolution, I should say, of the rule book. So with that being said, Jason, I'll kind of turn it over to you. What are you seeing right now? What do you want to kind of talk about in terms of gameplay and rule book?
So first, we did have an announcement earlier today, and this is something that, just to give everybody kind of a peek behind the curtain, there's a lot of work that goes on in decisions that get made in this, and it's not just one person making decision. And when a decision's made, there's a lot of conversation. It's not a, you know, oh, this needs to be banned. Okay, let's ban it. There's a lot of discussion. There's a lot of back and forth. And if we make a change, there is a lot of evidence given. We discovered there were two formations in this game that are utterly broken. They completely screw over the AI of the game, and there's little to nothing that you can do unless you know it's coming to stop them. So earlier today, Nidler did post in the announcements, and if you didn't see it, go check it. We have banned two formations. Now, one of them is an easy one to ban. It is either going to be called Shotgun Ninja, and the only playbook that it is in is the Air Raid playbook. Every play in that formation is banned. There are only three plays in the formation, so it's not difficult. But that is a formation where you have a center and two guards, and all your wide receivers are split to the sides, and you have a running back and quarterback. And it doesn't matter what defense you call, there are only like three defensive sets in the entire game where you actually get more than three guys in the box. So it's an easy run every time. And if you do get guys in the box, it's an easy screen pass for at least 10, 15 yards every time. So we have banned that formation. It is also known as Shotgun Monster if you add it into a custom playbook. But again, there's only one base playbook that has it. So this is not an this is a very difficult one to overlook. The second one is Shotgun Wide Stack. Now, Shotgun Wide Stack is in 16 base playbooks, or 15 base playbooks, excuse me. The biggest ones being Arizona, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Tennessee. I think those are ones that people might be using. I don't know that anybody's using the Old Dominion playbook. But this is a formation where you have four wide receivers. Each side of the formation, you have two wide receivers, one stacked directly in front of the other. Now, this is not to be confused with stack formations that are typically in the game. The reason this one is banned is because the splits are all the way to the sideline. So you have five down linemen in the middle, and then all the wide receivers are stacked on the edge of the field. And what happens routinely with this, no matter what defense you call, even if it's cover four, the wide receivers in front will do a slant route and then go vert. The receivers behind will go straight down the sideline. And what we've seen repeatedly is that if you have two defensive backs on that side, they will get confused and they will both track the slant and go, which leaves one of the two trailing receivers wide open down the side of the field. And if they're fast enough, it's a 50-yard play every time, if not more. So we have banned this. We will reevaluate if EA fixes the way that they do this. But the other issue with it is, it's not just that it leaves people wide open. It's the splits are so severe, there's really no way that you can align your defense to take away that side area. So there is a running play and a play action play off of it that it makes it near impossible to, again, deny a team anything shorter than a 5-yard gain. So those two formations are fully banned. We have artwork of them up on the announcements page. So go over there, take a look. If you have any questions, you can hit up your conference commissioner. We will be glad to go over it with you. We'll be glad to kind of explain why. And we will even show you video of what it does, because it is utterly insane how broken these plays are.
I think I was playing Wasted. Sorry, go ahead. He might have been the one who found that one you just talked about.
He was.
Because I was playing against him in a scrim, and I was doubling his number two receiver because he was torching me, and I'm like, I'm going to double him here. And I had double coverage, two guys man-to-man on him. He still broke away from the slant and was wide open for like a 45-yard slant and go or slant and run. You know, he just kept going. And he was like, yeah, I think I just found something that's not okay. And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I had a double bracket on that guy. Like, how the heck did that happen? So kudos to him for, one, like running the play and finding it, but two, like also raising his hand and being like, hey, sorry about that. Like, I didn't know that was going to happen. So yeah, he did find that one indeed.
Yeah, I pulled Shell into a scrim to show him, and he was just like, what the fuck is this? and you know, again, Rain did probably an hour and a half of practice mode where he was putting every possible defense on it, and he found a couple that could stop it. But the issue is, again, if you don't know it's coming, then there's nothing you can do. And also, we shouldn't have to have a situation where we go, well, I'm going to call this defense because it's the only thing that I have that can stop this one play in case they call it. That goes against what we want to do. We want to be a sim league, and you, this just isn't sim in any way, shape, or form. Again, if you want to see videos of it, we'll be happy to show you why it's banned. But we are not banning all stack formations. This has been a frequent question we've gotten. It is only this specific formation because of the severe splits. The second thing that we want to discuss with gameplay is to remind everyone what this league is about. So there are a lot of really good coaches in here. There are a lot of coaches that aren't as good. I'm not going to disparage anybody. I'm mediocre. You know, I used to be above average. Now I'm mediocre. But this league only works if we have 134 coaches. And that means that you have coaches that are playing. You know, I played Georgia State earlier today. I'll call out Beer Cop. Beer Cop's a fantastic dude. He's a good coach. But there's nothing more infuriating than making a perfect throw and your guy drops it. Or calling, you know, making a great read defensively and your guy's just too slow to do anything. Those coaches fight through every single game. And they continue to come back week after week, knowing that they're already behind the eight ball because their team's not very good. But they continue to use those teams, which is what allows us to have 134 teams in this league. Do not run the score up on them. Do not disrespect them like that. Because we're not going to name names or anything. We have unfortunately had a game already where somebody was throwing the ball while they were up 35. If you find, I was up 35-0 on Beer Cop in the second quarter. There is nothing more frustrating for somebody who's in that situation than feeling like they're doing something bad because the other guys on the other side have to deal with this. And I felt terrible, but I had to play the game out. And you don't want to, you know, pity the guy, but you also don't want to run up the score. He threw a pick. He turned the ball over inside his own 20. I punted it. First down. Not because I'm like, well, you know, I'll just give it back to you. My running back kept breaking tackles, and my fear was, well, I'm going to run up the middle, he's going to break tackles, and he's going to go into the end zone because I can't control when he breaks that tackle when he goes forward 4 yards. So I just gave him the ball back. And second half, I was calling man cover two. I was calling cover four. I was giving him the underneath, letting him try to get completions, and unfortunately, his guys were dropping passes or his offensive line wouldn't block. Put yourself in your opponent's shoes, first of all. Second of all, we don't get awards for, I mean, nobody, the awards are fun, they're cool, but does it really matter if you win a game 35-0 or 35-14? You know, let them have a little bit of enjoyment. Let them get some plays, let them get some practice. You don't have to go, you know, all out blitz on third and two. Call a zone defense. Let them get the first down. Let them get back into the game. That's the first thing. Second, do not under any circumstances throw the ball if you're up 35. I don't care if it's third and 27. Do not throw the ball. Run a draw, punt the ball. If they start coming back, then you are more than welcome to open up your offense again. But with this game, especially with the disparity in teams, we're not going to run into that situation. Third, we do the stats and we do the awards because they're fun. But it clearly states in the rules, if you are caught running up stats, the only award you're going to get is called the See Ya Award. And that's see you later. Bench your starters. Sub them out. Pause and sub out. You don't have to bench everybody in the starting lineup, but take out your quarterback. Take out your running back. Take out your top two wide receivers, which wide receivers shouldn't matter because you're not throwing the ball anyways. If your running back is in, you know, if your starting running back is in, like I have shotgun formations where he's in there because he's the receiving back. Use the right stick, package him out.
Yep.
Don't run up, you know, don't sit there and get your running back 300 yards because, well, you know, I'm just going to run the ball for 10 yards every time. Show some respect. Treat your opponent with respect, because I promise you there can come a time where you're on the other end of that, where either you're playing somebody who's way better than you or you're stuck with one of these lesser teams. And it without, again, I stress it over and over, without people like Beer Cop playing teams like Georgia Southern and Georgia State and teams that are abysmal, we don't have this awesome league that we have. We have a 32-team league with just the best of the best teams, or we have a 64-team league. So show respect to your opponent. Do not run up the score. If you score points and are throwing the ball when you're up 35, it might be your last game in the league.
Yeah, well said, Jason. I mean, the thing for me is, like, I know we've talked a lot about, like, sim style and realistic play. And that's something that I just want to reiterate, is that the realism, like, in college football, quarterbacks break away and scramble for 30 yards. They get outside the pocket and they throw bombs 40 yards down the field. Like, yes, that stuff does happen in real life, but just because it happens in real life doesn't make it okay in the video game. Like, I think you gotta, for the new coaches, you really gotta find that balance between playing realistic, playing sim style, but then, like, not taking advantage of these AI, you know, cheesy plays, the defense not reacting. You know, there was, again, I think I mentioned in the last podcast, like, there was a time where I could have got out of the pocket with KJ Jefferson and ran for 30 something yards, but, like, my guy played great defense that I was playing against, and I took maybe 3 or 4 yards and slid, and, you know, I think it was Wasted, actually. I think Wasted was like, hey man, you could have kept running. I'm like, that's not how we play, right? Like, you know, we don't want to take advantage of that kind of stuff. So just because we talk about realistic play and sim style play, that doesn't mean, you know, that there isn't still some AI flaws and glitches in the game that, you know, can be taken advantage of. So just be mindful of that. The nano blitzing, the stacking linebackers over D tackles, which, like, I didn't even really understand as a thing until a couple days ago when someone brought it up that, you know, it was happening across the league. You know, I'd say watch a lot of these veteran streams if you're a newer guy and just kind of see how they play. You'll get a good idea of what the gameplay is like. And if you have questions, like, please ask. Like, we're always willing to give feedback. It's not an attack on who you are as a player or a person. We just want to make sure that this league continues to be as great as it's been. And, you know, we love the new coaches. We wouldn't have a league if we didn't have new coaches coming to the table here. And we really want you guys to enjoy it as much as a lot of us have over the years. So that's just one thing that I'll add to it. Is there anything else, Jason, that you can think of?
Yeah. And that's the third thing we were going to get to. And, you know, to your point about running, I was playing Dave earlier and I'm inside 2 minutes. It's 3rd and 10. I go 5 wide. He calls phenomenal coverage downfield and I'm standing in the pocket for like 6 or 7 seconds. And he's, you know, his edge rushers are pushed up field. There's nobody in between my two guards. And it's just wide open field. So I'm like, well, it's 3rd down. The realistic thing is your quarterback would run for it and get the 1st down. And that's what I did. I ran 10 yards and slid. I got the 1st down. I could have run for another 10 easily. And it's inside 2 minutes. So, you know, it doesn't make sense for me to go, well, I can keep going. It's inside 2 minutes. But the point is he played phenomenal defense. His team played great defense. They had everybody covered. I took what I needed to get in that situation and I got down. If it had been 1st or 2nd down, I'd have done the same thing you did, or a 3rd. But I got the yardage I needed, kept the drive going. I don't think I scored a touchdown on the drive anyways. But I went back and huddled up, and we're down under a minute to go. That's the point. Play realistically. Respect your opponent. If your opponent makes a great play, applaud and move on to the next play. To the nano blitzing point, there are a couple things. And I know for newer players and even for returning vets like myself and you, the rule book is extensive. But we have these rules in place, not because we're trying to take the fun away from the league, but because we've had 27 seasons that have been successful, and they've been successful because we don't allow the cheesy lobby play. And when I say lobby play, you new guys don't know. We used to have to go into lobbies. There were literally East Coast, West Coast lobbies where we would have to go in and try to find games with random people. You know, we didn't have the whole, you know, friends list type thing that we have now. You could add some friends, but it wasn't what it is. So when we say lobby play, that's what we're referring to. It wasn't just a thing where we could hit play now and it would match us up with somebody geographically located to us. So we wanted to get away from that lobby. there are certain things that you can do on defense in this game that mess with the AI. And the first thing that I will say to anybody, and I've had to coach somebody today. Again, we're not going to names. We're not here to try to shame people. I had to coach somebody. The first thing I told him was, and the first thing I wrote in my SEC conference preview, if you learned it on YouTube, you probably shouldn't do it. The whole point of a lot of these YouTube videos is to show you that this is the unstoppable blitz and you're supposed to do it every play. No, that's not realistic. Realistic, the coach would torch you. He would find out what you're doing. He would block against it and he would torch you where you're leaving yourself exposed. The difference is with this game and with any game that EA makes, the players adapt to what's happening in the moment. They don't think about what's been happening. You know, they don't think, hey, they've run the same play out of the same formation five straight times. Let's go jump it and pick it. No, they're like, okay, well, we're going to react in real time to this play with it being its own little universe. So when you pinch your defensive line and then you stack a linebacker over top of it, if you go into practice mode and you do that with the defense and then you pull up the offensive line blocking scheme, and look at who your offensive line is assigning blockers to, that linebacker that's stacking over top is now being picked up as somebody who needs to be blocked. And what happens is if you do that and then you snap the ball and you don't blitz and you kind of hover there, it occupies that offensive lineman. In real life, that offensive lineman would slide over and pick up another assignment, and then if you came, he would help all. That's not what they do in this game. In this game, they do the little motion where they look like they're bracing against a wall and they're just like squatting with their hands straight out in front of them waiting for you to engage, and you don't. And what that does is now you've got five offensive linemen blocking four defensive linemen, but one of them is not engaging anybody and he's completely out of the play. Well, now you've got one-on-ones across the board. And if you blitz somebody off the edge, now you've got a free edge rusher. When again, in reality, that offensive line would shift in real time recognizing the danger. And they would realize that linebacker's not coming, and if he is coming on a delay, the running back will pick him up or somebody will slide over. So read the rules, learn, you know, what's allowed, what's not allowed. In moderation is the number one thing in the NDL. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can pinch your defensive line in moderation. Yes, you can spread your defensive line in moderation. But don't combine things. Don't pinch your defensive line and then shift linebackers to where one of them's stacking. Do not ever move your linebacker manually towards the line of scrimmage. There are plenty of ways that you can move a linebacker around, that you can shift your defense. You can show blitz, which automatically moves people into certain positions, but it does the whole unit, not just one player. You can show zero coverage pre-snap or pre-play before you pick your play. You can use the right stick to change what coverage look you give. So you can make a cover two look like a cover four. You can make it look like zero. There are lots of different ways that you can do things within the game to give your opponent different looks. But when you move a linebacker towards the line of scrimmage, you then start messing with the AI blocking scheme of the offensive line. And that's where it goes to what we call cheesy play. Don't move your safeties up manually. Don't move. If you need to move them, then, you know, move them within the alignment changes within the game. Don't run your safety up and do not put in between linebackers. That is a big no-no. These are things that we have built in over the years. And trust me, there are guys in this league who will torch you defensively. I'm looking at you, VT. Chase will pick, user pick you left, right, and center. And he doesn't have to do any of that stuff. There are plenty of guys who can play really good defense in this league without having to abuse the broken mechanics that we know EA has in single one of their games. If you're doing it to cause something to happen, it's probably not a good thing to do. That's the best way to look at it. And if you have any questions, come to a commissioner. We'll be happy to scrim with you. And we don't, you know, if we coach you, keep in mind, we're not coaching you to come to you and say, hey, you're a bad person. We're going to kick you out.
Yep.
You're a new guy to this league. One of the things that I've done when I've coached already, I've gone back in my email from, you know, 12 years ago, whenever it was, and pulled my very first coaching report that I got at the end of the season and showed them, hey, here's all the things that people said I was doing wrong that made me look like a cheesy lobby player. I didn't get kicked out of the league for it, and it wasn't them saying, he's a terrible person. These are the things you got to clean up, and unless somebody tells them to you, you don't know. So if we come to you to coach, if somebody says, hey, you're doing this, you need to stop doing that, don't take it as a personal attack. Mm-hmm. Take it as you're coming from a world, a lot of the newer guys, you're coming from a world where you had to do this crap to compete with the other dudes that were doing this crap. Because I've played Madden, and it's a shit storm of just running the same four plays and the same five defensive coverages, and you got to do 15 audibles before the snap to get everybody in, you know, four stack on the sidelines so that you can take away flood, because that's all everybody runs. We're not like that here. The fun of this is the chess match. And as you've coined, it's the NDL difference.
Hell yeah, brother. That's the best way to probably end this show, because we haven't said it yet this show. That is the NDL difference. We are running up on an hour. We're going to do some college football predictions. We'll save those for another episode. We'll let y'all play some games first before we make any crazy predictions on the CFP.
And real quick, to end it on a positive note, everybody did a good, for the most part, everybody did a phenomenal job this week of getting your out-of-conference schedules done, getting polls done. We know we had some issues with games being accepted and games, you know, we ran into an issue where whoever sent the invite became the away team, even if it was, you know, designated that one team was home, one team was away. We know we had some issues with the coaches' polls. Kudos to everybody for staying engaged and getting those in. Keep in mind, and this goes back to what we just talked about, we have the 40-40-20 system for a reason. There's a reason that your results on the field are the lowest component of that. It's because this league is about how you play and how involved you are. What you do on the field is only 20%. Don't let that 20% be what keeps you from keeping your team next year or getting a better team. The 20% part, as I've told a couple of people, you can lose all your games and still keep your team.
Yep.
Or still get a good draft spot next year. If you do all the other stuff and you get some bonus points here and there, the on the field doesn't matter nearly as much as what the backbone of this league is. So thank you. Make sure you put your stats in. If you have any questions on how to do those, we will be glad to help you. Make sure you get your game recaps in. One thing too, and it may not be listed in the rules, if you win the game, you're responsible for doing the team stats for the game. The player stats, each coach does, but the winning team is responsible for putting in the team stats. Your opponent may do it even if they lose, but ultimately the responsibility does fall on you.
Yeah, well said, Jason, and we appreciate you guys listening. Keep sending us feedback, ideas. We'll get some more guests going here as the season gets going along, but thanks for listening, y'all. Enjoy week 1 and week 2 of the NDL.